Breaking news here, as between now and the time we recorded our podcast, Paddy, Altior has come out of the Queen Mother Champion Chase, unfortunately.
Yeah, such a shame. Shame to see the champ not there. Still a great race, though. You still got Defi Desoy and Jacques and Bersois. It looks like a match between the two now. And it'll be interesting to see which one they come for and which one goes off favourite. I think it's going to be even more tactical than it was. And I think now it's really important for the horse that can dictate the pace in the front and get there. From what Ruby was saying to us when we were recording about how he'd ride the race, I think Jacques and Bersois now has the edge.
And you can tell by Ruby, he's obviously unavailable to join us right now, but he's spoken about Jacques and Bersois with a lot of kind of admiration. I think he's a horse that they kind of really like in Clasutton, isn't he?
With a twinkle in his eye.
You get that impression,
all
right.
Yeah, you do get that impression. And first time out, I think they thought he was still good enough to win when he wasn't fully fit, but he's got better and better, kind of building towards his big day, which is Cheltenham. He was great at Punchestown last year, but it's a bigger stage again now. And Defi Desoy will be the speed horse in the race, but Jacques and Bersois is such an amazingly good jumper that could have the race won early.
It is Jacques and Bersois for Paddy Power in the Queen Mother Champion Chase.
Paddy Power presents From the Horse's Mouth.
And he's absolutely robbed Tom. What a horse. Tiger Roll, one of the festival greats.
Hello and welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, live from Cheltenham. Yes, we're rattling through the festival now at battle speed. I'm Tom Nugent and I'm joined by two of racing's great stayers, one in the saddle and the other at the bar, Ruby Walsh and Mr. Paddy Power. You're very welcome along. Day one, water under the bridge, and for now at least, eaten bread is soon forgotten. We look to day two of the festival refreshed and renewed and ready to do it all over again. Ruby Walsh, we'll start with you as the Ballymore Novices Hurdle gets us underway for day two of the festival.
Envoy Allen.
Simple as. Any elaboration on that? Would you like to just keep it simple? Or?
Yeah. I think keeping it simple is probably the way forward. I just think everything he's done in his whole career has been perfect. I think he's achieved way more than any of the others in the race. You've Sporting John with loads of potential, the big breakaway with loads of potential, the big getaway with loads of potential, but Envoy Allen has proved his potential, and I think he is a brilliant jumper. He's a simple ride. He's just everything about him. If you were to give me a horse to take away from Cheltenham, he's the one I'd want.
Paddy, would you tend to agree, or would you be inclined to take him on?
I think he's probably going to win. You have all the favourites this week. He's one of the ones that's the most solid, and actually you could argue that he's a decent price at 5-4, but I do have this theory that we're all going to go a bit bananas and push him out in the morning, try and just offer a bit of value to try and get punters in. But I think he will go off close to even money, so I think I would agree with Ruby. Envoy Allen, I think if there's going to be one to beat him, I think the big breakaway for the Tizzards could be the one to shake him up a little bit, but I think Envoy Allen's most likely winner.
Very good. Onwards to the RSA. And Ruby, Willie decided eventually to, well, I think there was always the plan really to run Alaho here, wasn't it?
It was always Willie's ambition anyway. That's what he was always thinking. Look, I didn't give him a great ride here last year in the Albert Bartlett. I tried to settle him. We got into a battle, and by the time I decided to change my mind, it was too late and I couldn't. So I think he could improve. I see where Willie's coming from. He's a big, strong horse. He's a very good jumper. He looks like he'd stay any distance, so I can see why he's going here. I was looking at the Marsh, probably thinking it's a weaker race. You don't have Manila Indo, you don't have Champ, you don't have Copperhead. So that maybe, looking at the others, I thought that the Marsh was a weaker race, but Willie's decided to come here. I'm probably a little bit against Manila Indo. He just hasn't done it for me this year. Larina sprinted by him in Goran Park, and I thought he was very workmanlike at best in Navan. I do like Champ, though. But I think Champ needed the fall he got the last day. The world would be easy, or not the world, but horse racing would be easy if horses could talk and you could explain to them about the ins and outs of it all. But sometimes they have to learn by their mistakes, and Champ was getting away with fiddling mistakes and getting away with getting low at fences, and he paid the price here the last day in the Dipper Chase. And I think that fall, banging his head, and you could see him lying on the ground wondering, almost wondering what had happened. I think that could be the making of Champ, because I think he has unbelievable scope. I think he has the ability to jump. I think he has everything, but I just think he needed the wake-up call that he might have got here in the Dipper chase.
Paddy, the RSA, I'm sure your heart skips a beat to see a Henry de Bromhead favourite. Manila Endo currently 130, Champ next in 7-2, Copperhead 4-1. Have you had a bet in the RSA, or are you planning on it?
The first anti-post bet of the year was actually Battle Over Doyen for the RSA. It was a horse I decided I was going to get behind him and follow him all year back in November or something.
That didn't last long.
I know, that's the thing. And I actually dislike the horse intensely. It's really weird, because I thought he was going to be one that I'd love, you know, but now I just really don't like him.
See the last part of his name? Doyen?
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Okay. What does that mean? It means
he's a stallion. You probably want to avoid him.
Huh? Is he a stallion jumping fences like?
No. Battle Over Doyen.
Oh, Doyen was a stallion?
Yes.
Or his dad? Or yeah.
His dad, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Very good. I'm not sure. Yeah, okay, fine. But anyway, so Manila Indo, I think, has a chance. Champ, I obviously, some would argue that Ruby knows more about racing than I do, and his argument is valid that maybe a fall is a good thing running into Cheltenham for some bizarre reason. But anyway.
It is. Make open his eyes, lift his feet, do him no harm.
Yeah.
Black Hercules, Paddy. Black Hercules.
Never heard of him.
Won the JLT, had a fall in Navan coming here.
I had heard of him. Don't worry, I'm only messing. Copperhead is well talked up as one of the best of the English. Alaho was going to be a certainty in the Marsh, everyone keeps saying so. But I think Willie Mullins is a reasonably good judge of racing. So I think Alaho for me, maybe.
All the big names have arrived all of a sudden, and Mick Fitzgerald has kindly sat down beside us. Mick, we're just talking about the RSA. Had you got a strong opinion on the race at all?
I'd be worried about Champs jumping. I think it's a major problem. It's 20 fences in the RSA. Law of averages says you're going to meet one or two of them wrong. And the problem when he meets them wrong is he's just not very clever at getting his feet out of the way. And that's the worry if you're backing him. I think the biggest surprise of all was the fact that Puppy Power rides Slate House and not Copperhead. Everybody's talking up Copperhead in the preview circuit, saying he's a good thing, certainty. And then Robbie says, I'm riding Slate House.
Did he have the choice?
I think so.
I asked him last week and he didn't seem to know. And I wonder, did he have the choice? He's won.
I asked him yesterday, yeah. Was he edging? Which way was he edging? And he said, I'm edging towards Slate House. I've spoken to Colin about it. And he said, I think the form of the Ascot race is weak.
Well, you have to have an opinion, especially as a jockey. And he did start in handicap company, so you can ask the question, how did Copperhead get that well handicapped? Or he's improved through it. My worry, I'd have a bigger worry about Slate House's jumping than I do Champs jumping, personally. I'm not mad about the way Slate House jumps.
We'll keep moving because we've got lots to get through. I'm going to come back to the Carl Cup, but Mick, it's actually very timely that you joined us because we'll start talking about the Queen Mother now. Altior and being lame or being not lame or what in the Lord name of Jesus was going on?
I don't know what it is about Altior and Cheltenham. It always seems like there's a scare at the 12th hour. It's the same 2 years ago when he had, you know, a foot abscess and Mick the Farrier was basically there with him 24/7 to try and get the pus out, cleaned the foot out, and he went and won. And arguably, it was probably the most impressive he's ever been at Cheltenham. This is a worry. You know, they said it's an old splint that's flaring up. That's fine with a young horse, but with an older horse, when a splint starts to flare up, it's a worry. And this is a tight race. There's no margin for error. And going in with a doubt is a definite negative.
It's a funny one. I agreed with Mick and Mick's thoughts initially, but listening to the reports today, I started to think it hasn't flared up. He banged it and it's bruising and it's coming out, and therefore to me it'll be no issue by Wednesday. Now if he'd left him in the Ryanair, he'd have had another day and it'd be even less of an issue. But I don't think it'll be an issue by Wednesday. I think it's a bang on a splint, which is like a lump on the inside of a bone. He obviously banged it. I think they'll get it out of it. And I have no worries about the exercise end of it. People saying, oh, this close to the race. All of his work is done. You can't get a horse fit in 3 days. So the 3 days walking on the water treadmill will only freshen him up. That could even be a good thing. And I think it's a cracking race. Tactically, I would love to be involved in it.
Any doubt he won't run. Like they're,
he won't even get by the vet, Paddy. Yeah. So he will get a thorough examination.
If he runs, he's 100%. Like he's 110, ready to go. Like.
I'd say if he runs, he's beyond 100%.
Yeah.
He's going to get that sort of an examination from the BHA when he lands here on Wednesday. So if he gets to line up, he is 110%.
So he could be a bit.
He can't be 110%. He's either 100% or he's not. There's no 110.
I know, but that's a saying, Mick.
Thanks for clarifying that, Mick. That's great. Great to have you along for as the mathematician expert. Ruby, it's good to see you get one of those literal beatings up that you always hand out to Tom and myself.
See, I wasn't switched on there.
I get a lot less than you, to be fair.
I should have switched on when Fitzy came in. I knew it was coming. But don't worry, I won't get another one.
Paddy, talk us through the Champion Chase. You were a fan of Altior up until maybe just now.
I thought because he'd been there, done that, and I was listening to what Ruby had said, and Ruby had said before it's like a home game and all that kind of stuff, that like, you know, he just wins at Cheltenham when he turns up. So coming into the race, that he would have been the one that Ruby said he might have ridden. That was a few weeks ago now, but I don't know if you changed your mind at this stage. But
no, and I wouldn't. I just think he reminds me more and more of Hurricane Fly. As Hurricane got older, he got less impressive, but he still managed to get a one beside his name. He still kept winning. I think it'll be fascinating tactically. Fitzy, what way do you see it going?
You know, I actually watched last year's Champion Chase back yesterday because I was thinking that myself, and it was amazing. He actually rode Altior very handy last year, and I can see him doing that again. I really can. And you know, the others will then be thinking, hold on a second, he's in front of us, so we've got to start getting him. And then suddenly you might actually start getting them to make their moves a little bit earlier than they normally would. I think the one that's going to have the hardest job is Barry Geraghty, because it just in the back of his mind, it'll be that thing of the horse Deffy pulling up when he got beat by Lost in Translation. That'll be just nagging at him, and he'll be afraid to commit too early on him.
Yeah, I think it'll be hard for Deffy as well in a tactical race. I'd love to be riding it. That's the kind of race I'd love.
What would you do?
Me?
If you were riding in the race?
Give you two guesses.
I'll tell you what he wouldn't do is tell anybody what he's doing. That's for sure.
But that's the point. He's allowed to tell us now because, you know.
I'd make the run.
Would you, yeah?
Oh, definitely. Get them all behind me and play to my tune. That's what I do.
Yeah. Paddy, give me one name. What's going to win the Champion Chase?
Shaq and Pursois.
Ruby Walsh.
I'd love to see Shaq and Pursois win, but even now with the doubt, I just think they're all going to have to up it to beat Altior.
Mick Fitzgerald.
Look, I want Altior to win because I want to see him win five, but there is a doubt, and I think if there is a doubt about Altior, it's Deffy.
Cross country, Tiger Roll, yay or nay?
Yay.
Paddy?
Yay.
Mick Fitzgerald?
Yay.
Very simple. We'll move on now and just have a quick word of the bumper. Ruby, appreciate it. It's obviously been very, very impressive, and look, Patrick's pick.
Yeah, he's all day, every day for me. Queensbrook was very good in Gorn. Fernie Hollow is another one of Willie's. If you're looking for something outside of all of them with a bit of value, 5 Bar Brian, but I'd be all over appreciated.
5 Bar Brian trading at 25-1. Very interesting. Paddy Power, what's your take on the Champion bumper?
I think as well, it's kind of like, it's so obvious, but you got to listen to appreciate it's 1/2. You're thinking, he's probably too slow to win a Cheltenham. Then he wins over 2 and has every box covered. Ruby's kind of been kind of very positive about him every time he's mentioned him, saying he'd be a relatively easy ride as bumper horses go. So yeah, it's good enough.
Mick Fitz, any of the English bumper horses worth taking a chance on?
You know, there's nothing really. Israel Champ, I suppose, of David Pipes, he's won, which was, you know, historically been a good trial, the race at Ascot. But I think appreciated on what we saw at Leopardstown will be very, very hard to beat. There'll be a lot of lads back and appreciated instead of queuing up for the cash machine.
Quick word on some of the handicaps. Coral Cup, Paddy, bit of a minefield. Birchdale 8-1 at the top of it. Protectorate next in at 9-1. Dame de Compagnie alongside. Have you had a bet on the Coral Cup?
I very shrewdly backed Burrow's Edge at, I think, 11-1, and he's now 20-1. And I did that a few weeks ago, so I took the risk of not getting there safely, and he's now nearly double the price. So, yeah.
What a judge. What an absolute judge.
Absolute really. Genius I am.
I have a huge opinion on handicaps. I studied them night and day, probably. But I like
Franco. Back the unnamed favourite.
Yeah. No, actually, I did, when I rode Franco the Port work very early in the year, because he was only a novice until the 1st of December, I thought he could be a Martin Pipe horse. He got pushed out of that by the handicapper. I have a can't excuse his run in Limerick at Christmas. I think the trip will really suit him, and he could ultimately be a little bit better than a handicap.
Ruby, the interesting thing I found, I was looking at the decks this morning. Normally with Willys, they're slow to put jockeys down because obviously you've got choices to make. I was interested to see Paul Townend's name was beside that horse from the get-go, so he's obviously the best of Willys.
I'd say he was number one pick, but
not the shortest price. Carnardier is slightly shorter in the betting.
That's because Canardier has
moved to
Willie Mullins's. Personally, I can't see it. And I think I watched him last year in Aintree. I was sitting beside Barry Geraghty in the Wareham. Barry went out to ride, and because he was sitting beside me, I took an interest and watched him from flagfall. I thought Barry gave him an unbelievable ride, and he finished third. He really should have finished fifth. I don't think he's a pound in hand, and I can't see where the improvement is. That's what I watched, and I would be for Franco de Porcia.
And Dermot McLaughlin, who had him, he's not a poor trainer.
No, and like they knew they had him. They backed him off the boards in a bumper, and he delivered. And when any time they wanted him, he collected. I actually rode a horse as a 12-year-old. Dermot McLaughlin rang me to see if I'd go to the AP was retiring, to Sandown to ride in the old Whipred, whatever it's called now.
Bet365.
Yeah, Vic Venturi, was it? Yeah, I think it was Vic Venturi. He told me, like, I think he's a... Not Vic Venturi, I can't remember the horse's name. But he says, this won't be far away. I went and rode it. He could beat a neck.
Yeah,
like he knows
ride.
He knows the time of day. Probably. Yeah. But the trainer knew the time of day, so yeah. I don't see where the improvement is.
Lovely. Last race we'll touch on a day two of the Cheltenham Festival is the Boodles Juvenile Handicap Hurdle, or the Fred Winter.
Tronador,
very simple. Mick Fitzgerald, any steer on the Fred Winter?
Do you know, Galahad Quest, the horse of Nick Williams's. Nick Williams has had three winners of the Cheltenham Festival, all handicaps. This horse won a graded race last time, and I can see this running a big race.
Paddy.
Don't you want a horse here they've been kind of messing with a bit, that's kind of snuck in?
Tronador.
I know, Tronador, that's what I'm saying. I would kind of agree with you, yeah. So Tronador for Gordon Elledge. The same connection, he won the race for the same connection before, didn't he?
Tell you what, no, we'll just edit that part out of this.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Get us all in trouble.
Okay.
Thanks, Mick. Lizzie Kelly's just joined us very quickly.
Hi, Lizzie.
I'm going to ask you one question, not about Galahad Quest, because I knew you didn't want to be asked about that. Give us one to look out for on day two of the Cheltenham Festival.
I don't know. I think my main thing of the whole...
What would you back in the Champion Chase?
What would you read?
Would be Defi Desoy.
There you
go. That's, I'm just absolutely certain about him.
There you go. A bit of certainty. Paddy Power, best bet on day two of the Cheltenham Festival.
Can I ask Lizzie a quick question?
You can, of course, yeah.
Lizzie, do you have a view that are the English novices good, or do you even know? Can you even know like at this, like until they go up into Cheltenham?
I think the problem with the English horses is always that they haven't had tough enough races.
Right.
Whereas in Ireland, there's less racing, so they have to come up against each other more often. But I would say that Defi Desoy has actually had to prove himself this year and run sort of top class races all year. And I don't see that being the case with him.
Okay.
Ruby, best bet on day two?
Oh, the best bet on day two is, without doubt, Envoy Allen. And I think Appreciate will win the bumper as well. And there's another dig from Paddy, tipping two more favourites. But sure, hey.
Would you not throw in Tiger O for the treble?
See, I don't think like you. I'm not a punter, but you can do that. There's a great treble. Franco de Porte each way, and sure, get the lotto.
There
Shows
you go.
Paddy Power down. Let's do it.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
That covers day two, but we've just got time to catch up with our top trader, Mr. Frank Hickey. Frank, how are you?
Very good, Tom. Very good.
Lovely stuff. We'll keep rattling. Day two, Envoy Lane tops the Ballymore market at 5-4. Is he a good thing?
It's very difficult to see him beaten, really. He's got course form. Obviously, he's won the bumper last year. He's unbeaten. His form has been franked when you look at the likes of Abracadabra, winning at Leopardstown. And
you'd love an Abracadabra, though, I'd say, would you?
I'm not really a fan, no. Not maybe more of a pizza slice fan at the end of the day, rather than an Abracadabra.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I think it'd be tough to beat. I'm going to play in the without market. Be interested to see what price the big getaway is without Envoy Allen, and that'll be what I'll back, I think. I think there's a big race in him.
Is it interesting the Longhouse Poet shows up here?
He's definitely interesting. He was third behind Envoy Allen at Nace in the Grade 1. Just got outpaced and stayed on nicely. If he can hang on to them after the second last, if he's not too far back, then I could see him running on strong up the hill. Again, he's one I wouldn't be surprised to see in place. I just think this race might come a little bit soon for the big breakaway. He might just be a little bit too inexperienced. And Sporting John has been impressive again, but he's plenty short enough in the betting. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like Longhouse Port run into a place.
Wonderful. Onwards we go. 210, the RSA Novs Chase. Minette Endo at the top of the market, 130. Champ 7-2, second fav. And Copperhead 4-1, third favourite. 9-2, Alaho. And 9-1, bigger the rest. Frank, yeah, your take on the RSA.
Yeah, like obviously this hasn't been recompiled by the compilers just yet, but I'd imagine there's every chance we could be negative enough on Copperhead, considering Robbie Powers appear to have the choice of him and Slade House, and he's picked Slade House. Also, Alaho been drafted into the RSA rather than the Mars Chase. I'd be small bit worried about his stamina, but I do think he's a really classy horse. Champ is one as well. I'd be pretty sure we're going to be against him come Monday evening. And Nil Indo just looks the rock solid option. He won the Albert Barrett last year. I think he obviously at Gore when he was second to Lorena, the trip is too short. He was satisfactory up in Navan. People were knocking the form, but Captain CJ's won a grade three to boost that form. And I think there's very few negatives about him, and there's just a few question marks about a few here against him. He looks the solid one.
We'll come back to the Carl Cup, but we'll talk next about one of the big races of the day. It is the Queen Mother Champion Chase at 3:30. And Defi Desoy currently tops the Paddy Power market at 7-4. Shaka Persois next in 2-1. And the much maligned, or is he lame or is he not, Altior 11-4, third favourite.
Yeah, it just makes the race difficult to assess. I saw a piece today where they were saying if the race was today, he wouldn't run. So he's obviously got 2 days to improve. It just makes it very difficult to back him on the back of that. I wouldn't have been backing him anyway, but I think it's going to be between Chak and Persois and David Desai. I've heard Chak and Persois is working really, really well at home, but I'm just a big fan of David Desai. He's got course form in the bag, which I think he can make count. He's won a Triumph Hurling at JLT. He's been flawless this year, I think, and just Chak and Persois might tee it up for him. I can see Barry hanging on to him until after the last and sprinting away up the running.
Very good. Cross country next. In a word, Tiger Roll, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, that's very simple. Boodles, Juvenile, Handicap Hurdle, or the artist formerly known as the Fred Winter. Aramax tops the market at 6-1. Mick Pastor 7-1, 9-1 Time White, alongside the big talking horse Tranador. Frank, what do you think of the Fred Winter?
Yeah, Tranador is one that's probably interesting. It's not a race I have a massive opinion on just yet. I do know that we did a special today. Shane Lowry owns Theatre of War. I think we did a special Theatre of War to win the Boodles and Shane Lowry to win the Players. If Theatre of War does manage to win the Boodles, we'll be sweating on Shane Lowry, because it's a massive price on our specials page for anyone interested.
Very good. Make sure to check that one out. Frank, we'll just come back to talk about the Carl Cup. Birchdale at the top of it at 8-1, but it's a fairly open-looking handicap and hard to find the winner of it at the moment, is it?
No, it's very competitive. When Eglantine Desai ran in Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival, she just caught my eye. She made a big move out wide. She was about 12 wide into the straight, got to the front, coming to the last hurdle, and her run flattened out. And straight away, I was like, I want to be on that in the Carl Cup. And nothing's really changed my mind. Rachel Blackmore gets the ride. Again, we're probably going to be 6 places here, I'd imagine. And I wouldn't be surprised if you could get 20-1 come tomorrow evening. That would look a fair each way bet. And I would keep a close eye on Carnadier in the market as well on first start for Willie Mullins, particularly if the ground starts to dry out on Wednesday. He ran well in the race last year on suitable soft ground. If it gets to dry out, I could see him playing a part as well.
Lovely, Frank, to round out day two, we finish up with the Weatherby's Champion Bumper and Appreciated as the top of the market at 13-8. Is he a good thing, or could you get him beaten?
Look, the backing horse at 13-8 in bumpers like this is probably not the way to go. Just, again, he's obviously very, very good, but just the price won't entice me. Fernie Hollow was one that had a bit of a reputation at the start of the year. He disappointed in the first two starts, but he's very keen. He was much better with Hood the last day. I could just see if the race is run at a blinding gallop, which it might well do, I could see him travelling into it. And we're going to be 4 places on the day as well. So he'd probably be the 8-way play for me.
Lovely, Frank. Your best bet on day two of the Cheltenham Festival?
Definitely Desai would be my best bet, but I'd definitely be very keen on Eglantine Desai in the Carl Cup as well.
Lovely stuff. Frank Hickey, thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Cheers, lads. Have a good time.
There you have it, day two of the Cheltenham Festival in a nice little neat package. Join us tomorrow for more tips and analysis, and every day through the rest of the festival. I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth. Be lucky.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.